We are very grateful tonight to have each and every person on. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. Our speaker tonight, Brother W.L. Viltz, is the minister, also the elder of the Hollywood Street Church of Christ in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's been preaching over 30 years. He's been there in Hollywood for 14 years. Let me hear you. Make it plain about what one must do to be saved.
Yes. First of all, I want to be so kind and express my profound appreciation to the host minister, Brother Tommy Brooks, for the invitation to be able to proclaim gospel truth on tonight. I am just so thankful to be on with some very qualified ministers of the gospel. I'm thankful that we can share this conference call this week and this month. We are just so thankful for all of the members of the large body who is on with us on tonight. It means so much to have you in support of this effort. But also, as Brother Brooks and our good brother made mention, that you are VIP. Those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are our honored guest on tonight. And we ask that you would listen attentively, get your pencil and your pad, and write down scriptures and points that you may be able to go back and examine with the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And we want you to know that we mean no harm tonight. We don't mean to belittle you or your practice faith tonight, but our job is to simply show truth and error on tonight. But you are indeed a very important soul on tonight. So if you'd be so kind, be finding Acts chapter number 2, Acts chapter number 2, and we want to begin the reading at verse number 36 and following. Acts chapter number 2. Verses 36 and following. Luke writes, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked or cut in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Tonight, we are scheduled to speak on this particular subject. Make it plain. What must I do to be saved? Well, in Acts chapter 2, before we get to the 3 points on tonight, I want you to understand that there are a number of things that is taking place in Acts. The chapter is number 2. One of the things I want you to know is that there are Jewish people who are coming from all over the region. And they come into this particular day that is called Pentecost. And they are from all over. And Peter begins to preach, and when Peter began to preach, there are some who are saying, how can we hear all of these men speaking in our own tongue? He said, they must be drunk. And tonight I'm paraphrasing that you can follow along with me for the time, for the sake of time tonight. And Peter responded to them, and he says, no, brethren. He says, these men cannot be drunk. It is but the third hour of the day, or it is but 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early for these men to be drunk. And he wants them to know about one of their patriarchs by the name of David. And he wants them to understand, because they held David as one of their most prominent king. And so he begins to talk about David, and he talks about how this is what was written by the prophet Joel. And he gets into the history class about David, and the history class about Jesus, who is going to come from the loins of David. And he wants them to know that David had prophesied about Jesus, and the Lord had promised him or made an oath with David, wanted him to know that I promise that I am going to allow somebody from your loins to sit on your throne. And David talks about how he saw that the Lord would not stay in the grave, that God was going to resurrect his body, and his body would not rot in the grave. And David says that the Lord has said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And he talks about how David, who has not ascended into the heavens, but David is still in the grave. We can still understand and know it because his sepulcher is still with us. And so he talks about David because David was a prominent figure to the Jews. And so he wants them to understand this is what your prominent figure, the patriarch David, says about Jesus the Christ. And so in verse number 36, we come to it again, and he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, which Jesus that the Jews had not long ago crucified. He is the same Jesus that David prophesied about. He is the same Jesus who did not stay in the grave to rot. He is the same Jesus who is both Lord and Christ tonight. Well, my first point on tonight, if you don't mind, I want to bring out the first point. Statement number one, identify who Jesus is. If people are going to be saved, they will first of all have to know who Jesus is. They need to understand that Jesus is not just a good man who lived over 2,000 years ago. They need to understand that Jesus is but the Lord and Christ tonight. I'm reminded in Matthew the 16th chapter around verse number 16, and those of you students of the Bible may know tonight when Jesus was there on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 and around verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14 says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say you are Elias. Others say you are Jeremiah, one of the prophets tonight. I want you to know if people are individuals going to be saved tonight, they first of all need to know who Jesus is. And sometimes the only Jesus that they're going to see and hear is through you and I. They're going to be able to read Jesus in how we live our lives tonight. So statement number one, if you're going to be saved, we need to identify who Jesus is, and Jesus is both Lord and Christ on tonight. He is but the Messiah, the one who is the sacrificial lamb who has come to take away the sins of the world. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost on tonight. So he is Lord, and he is Christ. A number of people want him to be my Savior, but not my Lord on tonight. Well, since we have identified who he is tonight, he is both the Lord and he is the Christ. He is sent down from glory that he may be the ultimate sacrificial lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Statement number two. I hope that you're still with me on tonight. Statement number two. If a person is going to be saved, let's make it plain tonight. If a person is going to be saved, point number two, that person has to admit that I am a sinner. They have to admit that I am a sinner. Verse 36 says that he is both Lord and Christ tonight. Well, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked, they were cut, they were touched, they were moved in their what? In their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles with him, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, those of you who know about AA, you know that when you go to an Alcohol Anonymous meeting, the first thing that you have to do is you have to state your name. You have to say, I am John Doe, and I am an alcoholic. Tonight, I want you to know one of the hardest things to get people to admit is that we are wrong, or that we have an ugly side to us, or that we are sinners. Before you can come to the Lord, not only you have to identify who Jesus is tonight, but you have to admit within your soul and your spirit that I am a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Just like the Jews who was found on Pentecost, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, when they were touched, when they were cut in their hearts, when they understood that Jesus was both Lord and Christ, and we had crucified him, they understood that they needed to do something because they were found sinners, because they were at a guilty distance from the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You have to admit that you are a sinner. I'm so glad that not only you have to admit that you are a sinner, but the Lord has come to save you. So you don't have to feel guilty and die in your guilt, because the Lord has come to save you on tonight. We know the Bible says in verse number 37. Watch it very closely. The latter part of verse 37. He says, men and brethren, what shall we do? I like that part because it clearly states emphatically tonight. It didn't say, what must I say? There are so many religious, pious teachers tonight who are on social media, who are on the television, and who are on the radio waves tonight, who are telling a number of people that you have to say something in order to be saved. Some claim that you have to say a prayer to be saved tonight. Some say you just have to confess Jesus and you're saved tonight. Well, I'm glad that the Bible gives us a scriptural biblical example tonight in Acts the 2nd chapter and in verse 37 when the men stated there on Pentecost, not what shall we say, but what shall we do on tonight. I'm so glad God gave us the example that we can go to in the Bible and know exactly what we need to do in order to be saved. God has made this thing plain on tonight. Some say, well, preacher, you have to say a sinner's prayer. Well, I beg to differ on tonight. The Bible says in Acts the 22nd chapter, around verse number 16 there, a man by the name of Saul was praying, and God dispatched one of his servants by the name of Ananias. And Ananias found Saul praying. Whether he was on his knees, we don't know. Whether he was prostrated on his face, we don't know. But we do know this, that he was praying to God. Ananias, the servant of God, came to him and stated, why tarriest thou? What you waiting on? Get up and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Nowhere did Ananias tell him, continue to pray. Pray until you receive salvation. There are some who say in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, 9 and 10, all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. Just confess and thou shalt be saved. I want y'all to understand tonight that when Ananias told him in Acts 22:16, why tarriest thou? Get up, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I want you to know tonight, calling on the name of the Lord got something to do with getting up and doing something. Calling on the name of the Lord got something to do with being baptized. Calling on the name of the Lord has something to do with washing away your sins. I stopped by to tell you tonight that the Bible teaches us that baptism is essential for salvation. If there's no baptism, you can't call on his name. If there's no washing away your sins, you can't call on his name. Calling on the name of the Lord, one must be baptized and his sins washing away. I'm reminded Jesus teaches his disciples when they asked him how to pray. Jesus said, say, our Father who art in heaven. I stopped by tonight to tell you, in the great city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that God is everybody's creator, but he ain't everybody's father. When God is your father, you can approach the throne of God and you can say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The first thing one does, identify who Jesus is. He's the Lord and Savior. Come down from glory to take away my sins. John 1:29. I've got to admit, I've got to see myself in a sin state tonight, that God would move me into a saved state tonight. I've got to admit I'm a sinner, but you don't have to stay a sinner. You can be saved tonight. Our third and final point tonight. Statement number one, identify who is Jesus, Acts 2:36. He's Lord in Christ. Statement number two, admit I am a sinner, Acts 2:37. Statement number three, and our final point tonight, right information leads to the right transformation. Oh, I tell y'all, this thing is so good, it makes me want to be baptized again. Right information leads to the right transformation. There are a number of people who are teaching and preaching in churches all over the world, but they ain't given the right information. They're giving information, but it's not information that bring about transformation. Watch this in Acts 2:38. What's the right information that leads to the right transformation? The Bible says, after they said, "What must we do?" Verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized. Not just some of you, but every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, I don't have the time to deal with it. Everybody's at a different stage in their life. Some people need to believe in God. Others need to hear of God. Some need to repent of God. Repentance is simply a change of mind. And when you change your mind, then you have a change in your behavior. And so right information leads to the right transformation. Peter was telling them on the day of Pentecost, your job, Jewish individuals, repent. Oh, everybody needs to repent from something. Change your mind about the wrong living. Change your mind about the wrong church. Change your mind about the wrong teachings or whatever it is. We got to repent. We got to change our minds that lead to the right transformation on tonight. Watch this here. The Bible says, when you are baptized, God is going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't just get it from anybody. It must come from God, because it's a gift that comes from the Lord. When you obey the word of the living God, when you obey the gospel, which is the right information, it is going to lead to the right transformation. You are going to be a part of the family of God, a part of the church of Christ. You are going to be in a right relationship with the Lord when you hear the right information. The Bible says in John 8:32, you shall know truth, and truth shall set you free. Well, tonight, as I begin to descend this plane, on tonight, I want you to know that there are those who say, "Well, preacher, you say you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Some say that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, they teach that you have to have the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit on tonight. Well, I beg to differ on tonight with that. I said I beg to differ with that tonight, because I want you to know, everybody in the church, everybody in the early church, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Romans, in the book of Corinthians, where you find the gifts of God. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, around verse number 4, the Bible says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." I want to say here tonight that they claim that if you are not speaking in tongues, Are you not filled with the Holy Ghost? I want y'all to know tonight that when you obey the gospel, God is going to give you the Holy Spirit of God. And I know tonight in 1 Corinthians 12 that if the statement is true by some of these religious teachers that you must speak in tongues to be able to be filled with the Spirit, then there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there was a whole lot of folk who must have not been filled because everybody did not have the same gifts. And tonight I want you to know that there were gifts of speaking in tongues, but everybody didn't speak in tongues. They had those who had the gift of strong faith. They had those who had the gift of a working of miracles. Some had the gift of the spirit of the word of wisdom. Others had the gift of the word of knowledge. Some had the gift of interpretation of tongues. Everybody did not speak in tongues in the early church. So that makes a false statement by some of these false religious teachers on tonight. When you know the truth, it shall set you free on tonight. Well, now, as I begin to close tonight, the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, there are some who say, well, Brother Viltz, I hear what you're saying tonight. I hear what you're saying tonight. But you know, I see these churches like I see the airlines. You know, you can go through gate C39. You can go through gate B3. You can go through gate C71. And all of the gates are going to get you to the same city. I can be on United. I can be on U.S. Airways. I can be on JetBlue. I can be on Delta. I can be on American Airlines. And all of them are going to get me to the same city. It don't make no difference what airline you get on. It doesn't make no difference what gate you go through tonight. All of the gates will get you to that city. Well, all of that might be true. Well, preacher, I see the churches like I see the airlines. There are different airlines, but all of them are going to the same place. There are different churches, but all of them are going to get you to the same place. There are different gates, but all of them will get you to the same place. I stopped by tonight to tell y'all that I ain't trying to go to no city in America. I'm not trying to go to New York City. I'm not trying to go to Miami, Florida. I'm not trying to go to Denver, Colorado. I'm not trying to go to H-Town. I'm not trying to go to Los Angeles. I'm not trying to go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I know the planes can travel far. I know the planes can travel high. But where I'm trying to go, American won't get me there. Where I'm trying to go, U.S. Airways won't get me there. Where I'm trying to go, the American Airlines won't get me there. Where I'm trying to go, JetBlue can't get me there. Where I'm trying to go, Delta can't get me there. Only the church that Jesus promised to build is going to get me there. It is the only gate that I can travel through that is going to get me there tonight. Somebody say, preacher, I don't know about this gate thing. Well, that's why I'm glad Moses wrote in Genesis chapter 28. Make sure you write it down. Genesis 28, verse number 17. The Bible says there, and he was afraid. Let's back up to verse 16. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. Did you hear me? He says, this is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says there, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Nah, wait a minute. Somebody said, Brother Viltz, it didn't say Church of Christ. I beg to differ tonight. You got to interpret the Bible. He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house there of God. Watch this here, Genesis 28. Let me go back to it. Genesis 28, 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the, it said, but the house of God. And this is the gate, not gates, but gate of what? The gateway to heaven tonight. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, but I tarry long, that if the Bible says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Somebody said, say the church of the living God. That's exactly right. But my question to you tonight would be, who is the living God? The church of Christ is the same as the church of the living God. I know he's talking about the church of Christ is the church of the living God, because the living God, watch this in verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, did you see it? God was manifest in the flesh. Who was manifest in the flesh? Jesus Christ was incarnate in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believe on in the world, receive up into glory. Who got up in the clouds and went back to God into glory? It was Jesus the Christ. Therefore, when I back to verse 15, which is the church of the living God, I can say tonight is the church of Christ. And if the Bible is right in Genesis 28, it is the house of God, which is the gate to heaven. I stop by tonight to tell you that the church of Christ is the gateway to heaven. Oh, I just wanted tonight to make it plain. What must I do in order to be saved tonight? Oh, one must hear the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior. You got to hear that he died, he was buried, and he rose for you. You got to believe that God is. You have to repent of your sins. Whatever there may be that you are doing wrong, that you need to turn from, that's repentance. Confess him tonight. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of the living God? And those who do would say, I believe that he is the Son of the living God on tonight. And then you are a candidate to be buried in the liquid tomb of water baptism. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what the authority, Jesus the Christ, said tonight. Oh, if that's your desire, we'll baptize you tonight wherever you are, in whatever city. We'll find a church of Christ, and we'll put you in the water, and you'll become a member of the family of God. Live faithful, and God will restore your soul, and you will have a home in glory. That's my lesson to you tonight. May God bless you, and may God keep you.